The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For DGS and KMOX. Friday, we're going to be doing our last live show of the year with everyone here, I guess with me here, basically. And that's going to be at the Hardee's at Mid Rivers Mall and Mexico Road in St. Peter's. We're there from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. We'll have about 80, 85 of our hats with us. They're $30 a piece. There's no limit. I mean, you can't buy 80 of them. But if you want to buy three or four or five to give as gifts, you can do that. Like I said, they're $30 a piece. Really nice hats. They're by far the best quality hats we've had, the most kind of normal, like, you know, black with a leather patch, so you can wear those, you know, even if you're not a DGS fan. So, yeah, that's Friday, and then Hancock and Kelly will be helming the show a lot next week, and then you and Bernie?
Yeah, on the 30th, it'll be me and Bernie. I forget. 31st, I can't remember exactly the plan, because I think we have a Billikens game that day. And then we only have a short show after, if I'm remembering correctly. Yeah. So I don't know exactly what the plan is there.
Yeah.
I don't remember. Maybe it's me and Matt Pauly.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think so.
Razor's Edge?
Yeah. So top of the hour news, they were just talking about the Madison school shooter. And look, all of this is my opinion. You're free to disagree, but this is how I feel about the situation. It's really sad to me to see the media make what I consider to be the same mistakes over and over again when it comes to these school shooters. The big thing is now it was a female shooter, as if that means anything. I mean, I don't know what that's supposed to mean, but they're fixating on that. And, you know, she wrote this manifesto. And everyone wants to get a hold of the manifesto so they can read it and figure out the motive. So last night we're sitting around and Kurt was able to find something she had written. And he was like, wow, it's all nonsense. And without thinking, I just go, well, yeah, she shot up a school. So I don't care about this person. There's no wisdom to be gleaned from this person's writings and rantings.
It's just interesting. What's the word I'm looking for? And I'm prurient, but it's just the lowest common denominator of interest.
Yeah.
Well, I think people have good intentions behind it. They're like, we want to solve the mystery. There's a mystery to be solved here. I really don't think there is. I think there are some people who want to shoot up schools. Period. The end. It's horrible. I don't know of whenever it's like, we have to figure out why so we can stop it from happening in the future. How are you going to stop it from happening in the future? Like, how would you do that? If someone has this sickness in their brain that tells them you should go to a school and shoot innocent children, how exactly are we going to intercept that and stop that?
Well, also, we know, based on basic mathematics, that there are hundreds, probably, of potential school shooters like this girl out there right now. This girl was a walking red flag. Everything she did, everything she said, everything she wrote, all of her mannerisms were just one thing after another that she was a school shooter. And there are probably hundreds of people, let's just say teenagers alone to shoot up a school like that now. My intuition, my opinion is 99% of them, their families know, and that they're either a terrible family and they just don't care, or they're just trying to get through it. Does that make sense? But they're not taking it as seriously as they should. They're not contacting authorities. That's my theory, is that there are a ton of people out there like this showing their true colors, but their family either doesn't care because they're pieces of crap, or they are just trying to cover it for them until the one day that it happens.
Man, here's where I run into this. I think people in law enforcement, people who study psychology, should absolutely be looking for the details on this. We don't need it.
Yeah, I agree.
That's what Rach is saying. We aren't going to solve the mystery. No rando is going to be like, I read this and I learned something and the world's going to learn from me. We're not figuring out jack squat. We've been analyzing school shooters since Columbine. Where have we discovered some magic key to figuring out which kid's going to do it and which kid's not? Mm-hmm. It's like trying to figure out which person is going to become a serial killer and which person is not. You don't know until they do it.
Yep.
But now that's not to say that there aren't experts who can offer up tips on warning signs. But you, what you just mentioned, Dave, how many thousands of high school of teenagers out there could be mistaken for someone that might shoot something up? Where the appearance is the same, or the mannerisms are the same, or they're quiet and they don't talk to anybody, or they don't have any friends, and they get picked on. But in their minds, they're not thinking, I'm going to shoot everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But you could mistake them for that by their mannerisms. And I think that's the danger of what Rach is talking about, is everybody becomes, and this is really a danger when it comes to things now with the way the internet works and the way that social media works. We're trying to come up with answers that we can't get. So we're going to explain the drone thing. We're going to explain the shooters, and we're going to give you guys tips on, you don't know jack squat. And I think it's a good point that a bunch of normies trying to analyze this is not going to work.
I think Wheels nailed it. And I agree. There are experts out there who need to be put 24/7 be looking into this. What the media does is they're like, let's let everyone in on the goings on. And then it's, what do you do? What is the result of that? Then everyone knows what the shooter looks like, and everybody knows the shooter's name, and everyone knows there's a manifesto out there, and anyone who wants to can just run off and go and read it. And what have you created? You have created an incentive at that point, because if I do this horrible, heinous thing, I get to live in infamy, right?
Yeah,
that's
she said
the
that.
Motivation for doing it. And what are you doing? You're giving them the infamy that they desired. Cut them off. Stop with this. You can report on these kids who lost their lives. You can report on these people who lost their lives. Tell us the details, but we don't need to be fixated on, like, I wonder why she did it. I wonder why. Let's all analyze. No. Don't give her any attention. I know I'm giving it attention now, but I'm just saying, like,
yeah,
come on.
She even said that she had contemplated suicide many times, but that seemed boring when you could take other people out with you.
Yeah. And again, there's clearly mental illness involved, and we don't know beyond that. But it's hard for me because I there's a line that we're trying to walk here, because, and Rach is doing the same thing. It's important to understand, and it's important to eventually be able to teach, but there's too much noise and not enough signal.
Yep.
And the way that these things are done on TV is done for one reason: to get you to watch. That's the motivation of what's happening on your TV screen. It's not about informing you.
You know, stop right there. In my lifetime, in my adult lifetime, journalism was a thing. And journalism wasn't what's going to get them to watch. It was what's going to get them to watch or read that's within the ethical bounds of journalism, this thing that we adhere to and that we believe in. And sometime around the turn of the millennia, we started fudging on that, and we started really putting our thumb on the side of the scale for as long as we get eyeballs. And now, do you feel like there's some
No, it's
bastions?
All about being first. It's just about being first.
Well, it is, I don't know when it started exactly, but a lot of people who study the news networks think it was around the OJ car chase and the OJ trial that they realized sensationalism gets a lot more viewers than just news.
Yeah.
So when there's a car chase, when there's a school shooting, when there's a natural disaster, those things are going to be what get eyeballs. Now, what changed between the days that you're talking about, when news programming was expected to serve the public interest? It's literally a part of
the
foundation of news is serving public interest. In fact, a lot of it was built into having a license to own a TV network. Part of your license is serving the public interest in some way, shape, or form with some of your programming, and that's where the news programming comes in. So the question becomes, when did that change and why? Well, the when is pretty simple. It's when all of the local news businesses started getting bought up by the big companies, and it became about building a bottom line and a portfolio where you're going to be building profit and not about just doing the job well. So when the ownership of a company gets bigger and bigger and bigger, that company is thinking about the bottom line, serving stock, serving shareholders, because it's a big company. That's what a big company does. It's the definition of being a big company, right? I mean, but then look at the results of it in certain industries. Look at the results of that mentality in the health insurance industry and the reaction that people have had to that, which is weird that these two things are tied together mm-hmm. now, right?
Yeah.
Between, you know, essentially, not just essentially, but between a shooter and that industry. And it's all tied into what we're talking about with the big media companies. How many people feel this way about the big media companies? How many people have a positive view of the big TV networks?
Do you think, and this is a giant philosophic question, but do you feel like we have lost some of our own goodness overall, our own humanity due to these things? Or do you feel like it's mostly corporate, the way that corporate news has changed and the way that social media has become a thing? Or do you feel like all of this have carved out a little piece of our soul in addition?
Man, I don't think that overall human beings are worse now than they used to be.
You think maybe revealed a little too much about us?
I don't know. I mean, people used to gather for public hangings to watch it.
That's a good point.
You know, people used to lynch people that were accused of crimes before they ever got due process.
But I think in the 70s, 80s, 90s, we told ourselves we were better.
Yeah, yeah.
We used to do this kind of thing. I think if in 1985 you could see 2024, you wouldn't believe it. Not just because of the technology, but because of the people.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are ebbs and flows in time, right? There are periods where it seems to be leveled off, and there are periods that are awful. Although most anything in the distance past would be viewed as awful by our standards now. I mean, the things that used to happen to people that could happen on the regular just don't happen anymore. So I don't know that society is worse now than it used to be overall, but there are definitely, like, I think part of it, Dave, is just our experience. We grew up in a sweet spot, you know? I mean, 70s were a little bumpy early, but they got better as it went. But the 80s were cake, and the 90s were pretty cake too. And then it started to turn around 9/11, and I don't think it was because of that, because that was also the same time that the internet was booming and social media was starting not long after that. I think we're in a turmoil time now, which maybe was comparable to what the 60s were,
mm-hmm.
and just in terms of constant chaos, things going crazy. And eventually we probably return to a era of calm, and then we will again return to the chaos at some point, too.
Yeah. 222 DGS and KMOX. So, Wheels, you have similar thoughts to Rach about the shooter with drones?
See, it really is the same. It's the same conversation, I think, or at least a similar one with how people get carried away with filling in the blanks. Right now, it's a little bit of a veer from the exact line of thought last segment, but it's a similar idea in that everybody wants to be a sleuth and figure things out. And in the absence of a really satisfying explanation from authorities, people just create their own ideas. You know, Rach was mentioning during the break that, you know, a lot of buzz yesterday that the girl who was the shooter, she was trans, and that was people were talking. Stop filling in blanks. You can wait for the real information. There's no, you know, and with this drone thing, you've got people that are just wildly speculating about the craziest things. I mean, we had an elected official like, Iran has a mothership off the East Coast. Like, really? You think we're going to let that sit there? I mean, are you kidding me? Other people have come up with their own explanation that, they're sniffing for a hidden nuclear bomb. Really? You just figuring that out? Like, you don't think, I mean, like, this is what bothers me, is we're in a place now where it's not okay to just wait for answers. We got to create them. And then you listen to somebody who knows what they're talking about, like somebody who's been in the military or whatever, and they're like, man, if there was a crisis like that, they would have a cover story. They would have a really good explained reason why they're doing this. They wouldn't just leave it like a mystery, because they know what a mystery does. It gets people to create their own story.
To what degree do you think the government is complicit by leaving the blanks? It's one thing if you have like a weird sound,
right,
and they don't immediately tell you what the sound is. It is another, though, if you have hundreds of drones the size of cars,
yeah,
I believe the government owes those citizens an explanation.
Absolutely, because the way that they're handling this is leading to the dynamic that we're talking about. Because what you're doing is saying two things at once that are, to me, basically mutually exclusive. You cannot say, we don't know who it is or what it is, but there's really no problem.
Right.
You can't say both of those things. Right. They can't both be true. If you know who it is, then you can say it's not a threat. If you don't know who or what is putting it there, then it has by definition, at least potentially be a threat.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, that's the cause of the situation. But then all of us still have the control over ourselves to not fill in the blanks with stuff we just saw on TikTok. I mean, every TikToker in the world's like, you know, I work in an industry that's loosely related to flying things, and my people are saying they're sniffing for, like, no, you don't know anything. You don't know anything. Nobody does. And the people who do know are not saying, for whatever their reasons are. And I don't know what those reasons are. And I think we all need to be more comfortable with saying, I don't know. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, I'm not saying I'm not saying that that's what we should be told by people who should know, right? I mean, you saw what Donald Trump said about this yesterday, right? He's right.
He actually made the most sense.
Yes. Somebody knows. And of course, we can read between the lines because he is getting intelligence briefings as the incoming president. So when he says the president knows, the military knows, he's probably not BSing. I mean, that's one case where you could look at, you know, he BSs a lot. But in that case, it makes sense what he's saying. What he's saying is, of course, now maybe they don't want to let you know for whatever the reasons are. And that's a valid complaint that all of us have. We should be getting an explanation because this idea that people are just making mistakes is silly. Because if you look at the people reporting these things, there are sightings from Air Force bases, people that are fighter pilots and people who work for the air. They know a drone versus an airplane versus a balloon. You know, it's not like it's just rando Joe Public that's doing it. And the absence of an explanation or just saying, we think we're on a track, we can't say what it is yet because we don't know, but we'll let you, we should know soon. That's a different thing than just being like, hey, guys, everything's fine. We don't know what it is, but it's fine. It can't be both. And at the same time, the rest of us can be pushing for answers and, you know, putting pressure on public officials to go get answers without trying to come up with the answers ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's surprising how many fairly high-level politicians clearly don't know. Maybe it's just I believe the movies I've seen, but it just feels like once you make it to Congress, you would be privy to this kind of information.
No,
they're not.
I feel the same way. I'm always surprised by when, Wheels was saying about elected officials saying, like, well, Iran's got a mothership off the coast or whatever. Like, you just think you'd be beyond that kind of thing once you get, even if you just hear, like, rumors.
I took that guy seriously when he said it, because of his station. The fact that he is who he is, I thought, you're a real guy.
Yeah, he would have to know.
How are you going to make something like that up?
Yeah.
Well, somebody told him, and he believed it. I mean, that's essentially what happened.
He's like, I saw on Twitter there's a mothership.
And keep in mind, that was not a U.S. senator, which I think we would agree is a little different thing, where, you know, we know the crazies live in the House. Mm-hmm. And they're not all the same level. They're not all, that doesn't mean they're bad or good. It just means they're not all the same.
Yeah.
Where the more seasoned people tend to be in the Senate or in higher position. And I thought what Donald Trump said yesterday made a ton of sense.
Welcome back, DGS 234. You know what I was thinking about? I should have been a meteorologist.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I think that's probably the upper end of my intelligence. Like, I probably could have faked my way through med school, but I would have killed a lot of people. Meteorology is a little sciencey for me, but I think I probably could have done it. And then I know I could have done the on-air part of it. And there's nothing in the world I enjoy more than watching weather. Mm. Like, I know it's an old guy joke, and I don't know what it is about old guys, but I can put on the Weather Channel in the background. I don't sit like with bated breath and be like, oh, my God, it's going to be 100 degrees in Austin today. But I can have it on for an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it like that for you, being young and female?
I don't watch the Weather Channel, but I do. The older I get, the more invested I am in the weather. You know, I like to look at the app on my phone. Don't tell Dave Murray. And then when Dave Murray was gone every day, I'm like, well, what's going on? I can't trust the app, according to Dave Murray. So, you know, no, I mean, I guess the answer is no. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
It's not the same thing.
I don't passively watch anything, so I mean, it's just a bad answer for me in general. Like, it could be anything. I don't usually have anything on in the background.
Really?
If it's on, I'm on it. I'm into it. Or if I'm not into it, I'm doing something else. I'm playing video games or whatever.
You strike me as someone who would have two or three things on.
I might do that. Like, so I do this a lot during baseball season as an example. Or even like crossover baseball and hockey. Like, I'll watch the Blues on an iPad. And I got a baseball game on the TV, but I'm back and forth between them. I wouldn't say I have anything on in the background. Like, there are times that I'll have like I'll put the Cardinals game on audio in the background while I'm doing work on the computer or something. But that's just I'm listening to the game while I'm doing something else as opposed to watching it.
Yeah.
It's weird. I don't know why it is, but now that I'm thinking about it, if it's on a screen. I'm typically focused on it. Not 100%, right? I mean, I'll look at my phone if I'm bored at a point in a show or whatever, but like it's not.
Go to a smaller screen.
Yeah, I was about to say. Yeah.
Right.
It's sad.
But usually it's only for a short break. Like, I want to see if any news broke on the baseball trade or whatever.
Almost every night before bed, I will end up on the couch with the heated covers with something on TV turned down low. In the background, looking at something on my phone or the iPad, not as passively, but not actively. Like, that's how I get cozy.
Ooh, you know what I've been doing lately, Dave, that you would hate?
What?
So you would hate it.
I do this thing, but you're going to hate it.
Brushing your hair.
For a long time, I was listening to brown noise whenever I would go to sleep. Well, lately there's a YouTube channel and it's called like you're gonna have the best sleep of your life and it's called Dream Airliner and it's just like a kind of like a white noise video but you're on an airplane and it's the ambient noises of an airplane and every morning at like 4 o'clock in the morning it wakes me up because they're making announcements over the intercom. It's not super loud. It's
so you leave it on overnight.
Enough. Yeah, but that's how I sleep. I bet you wouldn't like it because you're not much of a flyer. But
yeah, I mean I could probably. Get past the fact that I'm not actually on a plane, but
it's pretty cozy though. I highly recommend.
I'd probably go
it.
For a train.
I have a random question.
Mm-hmm. What's up?
Maybe I don't know something, and that's why I'm asking. Why do we have noises assigned to colors?
I don't know, but there's
brown
like,
noise, white noise.
Yeah.
Do we have red and blue noise?
I believe so. There's a pink
green noise.
What like is that a scientific thing? I'm seriously asking. I have no idea.
I think it's more. Vibe,
okay,
and feel because white noise was the first thing.
It's
that people
very
say.
Yeah, and it's because I know I've listened to and checked out like brown noise or whatever, and it's a different tone. Like you can tell the difference, but I'm just wondering if it's randomly assigned a color, or if it's actually like there's some scientific reason that it's that color.
I wonder about the science because a lot of times, like on TikTok, it'll be like it's 437 megahertz. Listen to this for 60 seconds and be healed. Like.
Yeah,
and then you do, and it's terrible.
You're like, no!
I'm not even healed.
Yeah. I'm worse now.
Internet says the colors are assigned to the spectrum, so it is where the frequency of the sound falls on the spectrum, on I guess like a spectrometer.
Mm. Makes sense.
Okay,
and that's what the internet says.
I just didn't know that sounds had colors.
Well, now you do, Kevin.
No, okay. I mean, I know that we assigned them, and that's why I asked the bigger question. Because I know that
it
says...
Doesn't feel like he's accepting your answer.
No, it's fine.
He don't like it. He that's is. Fine.
No, it's fine. I totally accept it.
It
I just didn't
answer.
Know it.
I don't know nothing.
Have you guys been seeing Mirror Life?
What?
Man, I know all this stuff.
You know everything.
There are scientists who basically are... trying to figure out how to create mirror life. For example, the DNA strand is right-handed, I believe. And they're trying to create a DNA strand that's left-handed. And other scientists have come out. There's a couple of pretty big articles in the last 2 days. You can read them if you wish. Saying, don't mess with this. This is worse than AI. Like if you are successful at creating mirror bacteria, it could change life as we know it.
I'm sorry, this is probably a really dumb question, but what's the point of creating the mirror bacteria?
I don't know the answer to that. I'm not sure if there's an advantage or if it's just scientists being sciencey, or it's just a challenge, or it's something that someone thought up and no one ever thought it was possible. I'm not sure. But people are saying don't do it.
Hmm.
I just think it's fascinating.
And that is ringing a bell. I think someone tweeted the other day and said they wanted to hear your thoughts on this, Dave. So it's good that you... But I didn't read the article.
Yeah, so many of these articles, which is why I only rose to the level of meteorologist, is that I understand the basics, but about halfway in, I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, I know what DNA is. I know what right-handed is. Mm-hmm. I can kind of picture a right-handed DNA, but then once you get past that, I'm like,
I don't get the right-handed DNA thing.
Like, it just like turns it moves, one way or turns the other way.
It like moves clockwise versus counterclockwise or whatever.
Why don't they just say that instead of calling it right?
That's what I was.
I'm going to tell those scientists to change the way they classify this because it's not making much sense.
Also, on a more relatable note, less scientific, I am dreading buying the stocking stuffers for the kids because I feel like it is prohibitively difficult on the people at Walgreens to have to check me out with all that candy.
I like nice of you.
I for real feel bad. And I will for real make a fool of myself because I'm going to say some dad thing like, oh, it's time for the stocking. Sorry about that. Like, I'll do something really stupid.
Okay, Kevin's going to say this, but I'm also going to say it. Why is it hard?
I feel bad that I'm putting someone out.
Why are you putting them out?
That's their job.
Not to be like one of those people. It's it's their job.
If I were them, I wouldn't want to see some guy walking up with 10,000 Starbursts an hour.
Are you bringing like a pallet of candies up there?
I mean, two big stockings worth.
Here's the thing. If it wasn't you with your candy, it'd be some other guy with some other big pile of something.
True.
Dave, I understand, though, because remember whenever Wendy's was having like a burger shortage?
Yeah, and you didn't go.
I didn't go. I didn't want to put my pals through that. I was like, they're already overwhelmed. Like, they don't need me.
But, like, unless you're buying 100 bags, is it really a big thing?
Well, because you're buying them individually. You know, like the loose candy, I'm fine.
Oh, you're not buying bags of candy.
I'm buying like...
You're buying like candy bars.
Here's a Santa.
I got you. I got you.
A candy cane.
Now I understand because you got to scan all of the... Okay, because I'm like, just buy the bags of
candy. No, the bags of candy, I'm fine. I'm fine.
Well, you could... Why don't you just buy like a mixed bag of candy? Or is it
feels
more
like
the,
mailing it in.
I say, is it more the point to you handpicked them?
Yes.
It's a curated stocking of candy.
Mm-hmm.
Then I understand. Now I get it. I was just picturing you like bringing four bags of like chocolate Santas.
I kind of was too.
I did it Quick Trip last year, and I think the guy was even surly at me.
Quick Trip maybe that's a little, place to do
people
it.
Getting sodies.
Gas station ethics, like. You know, I even have questions sometimes when people are doing all, I'm going to buy 74 lottery tickets and I'm going to scratch them off the counter.
I've been very vocal about this on the show. I think that there should be lottery hours. I think if you were buying a lottery ticket
from the
gas station. Yeah, or a lottery desk. Like, when I'm running in late for work or whatever and I'm trying to stop in and get some breakfast and a big soda or whatever and I'm in a hurry and everything's going perfectly smoothly except for the guy in front of me who's like a retired older guy, doesn't need to be out this early, but is, and he's getting his 17 lottery
doesn't
tickets.
Doesn't need to be.
He should be at home.
I'm serious. You got nowhere to be, man. You got all day.
You don't know that. He could have a job.
Yeah.
He could be.
It's pretty ageist of you.
Yeah, he could have a part-time job.
He could, but
it also depends on the transaction, right? Like if you're just saying, hey, I got a winner here and you give it to him, they scan it. Do you want that back in money? Do you want to? Are you buying stuff? Like, that's not that bad. It's when they have like stacks of them and they're sorting them, and I want three of those and two of those and five of those and four. Like, that's when you should maybe come in at like, what would you say? Like, 1 p.m? That's a pretty quiet time to do that.
I would say, because I don't want people to get hit on their lunch breaks either. So I would say, like 1 to 4.
What's
and then
the most
like
annoying
six
thing
to
that you
end
do?
Of the day.
Oh, man.
Ooh, like boy. That.
So many things.
That's a great question. Mm. I will sometimes...
Like, I shouldn't say this. I've said it before.
We shouldn't say any of them, but
I'm
going to say mine.
I said that I wouldn't do it anymore, but I still do sometimes. I still park at a pump at the QT if I don't need gas sometimes.
Yeah, bingo. I do that. I will also do the thing where while the gas is pumping, I will leave it and go inside and get my tchotchkes or whatever.
Phoebe's pretty much knocked it out of me leaving the car running.
Yeah.
But I used to do that.
Oh, don't do that.
You're going to, yeah.
I used to do that all the time.
Yeah, that one goes beyond like annoying. That's like unsafe.
Yeah, I don't, it's occasional that I will leave the pump running and go in, but that's only if it's freezing cold.
I will also.
Like, if it's crazy ass cold, then I'm going to do that. Otherwise, I'll just.
And we have had people from this show contact me and be like, do not do that. But I will, if it's the only pump available, I will go to like the truck pump and use that to like get gas. Hey, it's got an unleaded thing, and that's what I tell them. I tell them, if you don't like people doing that, if they don't have a big postal truck or whatever, tell it to the gas station.
I'm not familiar with the truck pump.
So it's the one that has, like...
the diesel.
The diesel and the unleaded on it, mm-hmm. and it's, like, the only one that the trucks can go to because they are the ones that use diesel. But my answer to that is, like, hey, man, if you got a problem with it, tell them not to put unleaded on the pump.
Trying to think. I don't really go to the gas station that much. I go and I get gas, but lately I've just been tapping at the pump, and then I don't even go inside and get a soda. So I don't know.
I love going inside.
How nice for Rachel.
I'm just saying, I don't think I have a gas station specific thing that
doesn't
I'm doing
need to
wrong.
Get seven candy bars, three chicken tubes, and a giant soda when she goes to the gas station.
I just don't want to. I don't want to deal with all these things you guys are listing off. Like, I really do. I'm just like, I don't feel like dealing with people.
I don't know.
So
I feel like
leave.
in that setting, the gas station setting, I'm at the pro level. Like, I got it down. I don't do the annoying things because I know what I need to do. I know how to do it fast. And just. Bleh, 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 bleh.
How'd you feel about that one, Andrew?
Well, also, the other thing is that I do kind of agree with Rachel in that she's more going to, like, she goes to city gas stations more often than I do. I go to, like, small area gas stations. I hate a city gas station.
They're quite busy.
they're a madhouse every time. But an Alton gas station's got, like, three or four people in it, max.
Last time I went to the QT at Jefferson, there was a guy in the back. And there are two cops with their guns drawn, and he had his hands up.
Uh-oh.
Oh,
that is the QT on Jefferson can be a wacky place. And they do a great job of keeping it
there's
safe.
There's almost always a cop there.
There's always a cop there. They're always keeping it safe. They've got it locked down. But it's like you see some wacky people going in and out.
There's energy there.
Yeah, there's energy there.
For sure. You know how we have the show prep service, and sometimes it's really helpful, and other times it's not?
Mm-hmm.
41% of adults don't have a favorite dinosaur.
What? I am appalled.
This is one of the more helpful ones.
Mm-hmm.
How do you not have a favorite dinosaur?
What's
I didn't think about mine.
Yeah? You have to think about it?
Mm-hmm.
What is it, Dave?
Pterodactyl.
Yeah.
Oh, good
those
one.
Are great. That's a great
those are
call.
Pretty great.
Yeah.
I like this Triceratops.
See? There you go. See how fast that is?
Mm-hmm.
I had a hard time picking, man, because I was a dinosaur nerd when I was a kid. I got all the toys, knew all the names. I'm definitely more of a fan of the, the hunters. Less a fan of the plant eaters. But the Stegosaurus was always a favorite because he had that club and just smack people. But yeah, the favorite was probably the T-Rex when I was a kid. Now I'd say probably the Velociraptors. Probably because of Jurassic Park. Because I have this myth in my head that they were like...
Badass.
Like just mean dogs.
Yeah.
The reality is they were probably just like little mean birds.
Saw something recently. It made me think of it because I see that LeBron is mathematically the worst player on the Lakers. And I saw something that said, creatives don't die. They just get worse at their craft. There's a lot of truth in that.
Oh, yeah.
There are some people who keep their fastball, people who do what I do, where it's not physical. You're not going to see anyone in the NBA when they're 50 years old. But there are some thinkers out there, some talkers out there that are still pretty relevant. But there are a lot of them, too, that you see them and you're like, aw.
Well, and just how many times do you hear like, oh, yeah, I love his older books, but I have his newer books just kind of aren't hitting. Or music, like a band puts out, you know, the Rolling Stones put out a new album. And instead of going like, oh, my God, this is incredible. I can't wait. You go like, oh, really?
We just had that experience at lunch. I showed you guys the video of Madonna in her recent company. You didn't see it, Rach. It's like, you're like, okay.
What's she doing?
You should probably stop doing this now.
She's dancing.
Yeah,
like dancing and trying to be provocative, and it just doesn't look right. It looks weird.
People, if I were an OG, I'd be fine with it. That's a thing. When you're someone who's done something great, for a long time.
Yeah.
And people just want to be like, oh my God, there's so and so.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
And it's, I think you get, you know, you get used to, like, if you are Madonna or whatever, you get used to being the world's biggest star. And I think that's a very hard thing to let go of and, you know, entropy gently into, like, I am no longer the biggest star. I'm still a star. People still love me, but they don't love me in the way that they used to love me and for the way that they used to love me.
It's funny because
they don't love me for the now. They love me for the then.
Like you mentioned on the LeBron thing, it can go fast, too. Like, last year he was excellent, and now all of a sudden, bloop.